I should have said, finished changing the world. Yes, because from the moment that they picked us up and singled us out for the abuses, I think we were already being an influence for changing the world. Yes, for changing the whole world. America is more socially mature than any other nation I know of. Why? Because it has used us for its experimentation. It has used us for its experimentation. In its experiment with freedom, nothing has been more valuable and more important as a factor in their experiment with freedom than the soul and life of our people. Yes, they have used us to awaken the best in their own people. They have used us to bring out the best in their own people. They have used us as a kind of cathartic medicine to purge the soul of their own devilish people so that their people become a healthier and better people for the great plan of their founding fathers, because they weren't even fit to support that plan in that terrible, diabolic nature they were in before they poured out their misery on us and cured themselves by some kind of a therapy. Yes, by some kind of therapy, they cured themselves. But who was used? We were. We were. We were used to heal the nation. And now this nation, as I said, are more socially mature and more healthy as social members in the self-society of mankind than most of the people I know in the nations of the world. Most of them. They may be devoted to rituals. They may be devoted to righteousness more than most Americans. They may be devoted to honesty and decency and loving their neighbor. But when it comes to social maturity, most of them are much more deficient or lacking than the average American citizen. Much more. They don't have the social maturity of the American people. Yes. So not a single person that has been assigned for the healing of this sick world. It is a group of people, African-American people, that have served as a sign for the healing of the hearts and souls of the world. God chose you for that, and He will reward you in equal measure. Whatever the world took from you with God's permission, God has to reward you in equal measure. And didn't the world take away from you your connection with your own lifeline as a society or as a people? Yes. So then to pay you back, God must connect you again with your own lifeline so that you can become a society and a people anew. And a people supported by the excellence of Mother Nature, a people reconciled with the material world as the mate or the helpmeet for the mind of mankind. Yes. So you have to become again a lover of God's creation in its beauty and in its service to mankind. Become again. This is the natural life of healthy people who are going to progress, who are going to make for progress in the world, who are going to lead the world to progress. That's their beginning. Their beginning is appreciating beauty in the natural world, appreciating the help they get from the natural world, appreciating the utility for industry and human life that God has put in the natural world. So we need leaders, men and women, who will fall in love, if you're not already in love, fall in love with God's creation in its beauty and in its service to mankind. Then you'll become connected again to the natural world as God connected the first parent Adam. You'll become connected again to the natural world. This will situate you for progress more than any other thing will. When God says in the Quran to us that the first word revealed to Muhammad was read, said read, Iqra, read in the name of your Lord who created. God didn't say read in the name of your Lord whose proper name is Allah. He didn't even give Muhammad the name Allah until later. He said read in the name of your Lord who created. So the first acquaintance Muhammad was given of God was God the Creator, not Allah, that's your name. God the Creator. And God had to say this to him again before he understood. He didn't understand. So God repeated, read. He said, Iqra. Wa rabbuka al-akram. And your Lord is most generous. Who is most generous? The Creator is most generous. Look at all these wonderful things available to you for your benefit, for your use. And to be brought into service for the benefit and progress of human society on the earth. So Muhammad began to understand what God was saying to him, and God connected Muhammad with the objective world in its beauty and in its excellence. And then Muhammad was able to read and receive revelation. It continued until it was completed. And when it was completed, God said, now has the Satan, given up all hope of tricking you up in matters of your religion. Yes, so what does this tell us? That the whole plan of God is worked against by the Satan. And you know, we think Satan is some spirit or something. He's a mystery. He's a great mystery. Oh, you got the devil in you. Not all the time. That's just you in you. If you ever get Satan in you, wow. Whoa, pity all of us in you. Yes. So, yes. So, here is the enemy, and he's no, it says, even hellfire, you know. The scripture is very clear. The hellfire is no superstition. It's real. So in Islam, we say, an-narul haq. The hellfire is reality. It's reality. And we say that hell starts in this life, and heaven starts in this life. But that should bring relief to a lot of you all. I have never read in the description of hell anything much worse than we have already suffered as a people. Burning, we've been burnt alive. I can't find anything in the picture of hell any worse than what we have already suffered. I'm going to bring this to a conclusion very soon. If you followed what I've given you so far, we can now know Mother Nature's support for the African-American cause. We can now know sacred scriptures, comforting words. To the orphan, not an individual, but all people have been made orphan. Mankind's orphan is the African American people. We can now have life and have it more abundantly. An entire lot of people, us, was made an orphan to be used and abused in a racist government, by a racist government. A racist government whose soul was poisoned and who was on an ego trip. Yes, the soul was on an ego trip. Soul of the white leadership. On an ego trip. and they spoil their ignorant masters by making their ignorant masters think that it was approved by God that black people should be put down. And some ignorant preachers have used the saying in the Bible of the curse of Ham upon Ham to say that we are the children of Ham, and therefore our blackness, our color, is a curse on us. How ridiculous and how far can they be from the truth of their own Bible, from the truth of their own scripture? They misread it, misinterpret it. Their learned people guided them or led them into such misreading to keep them ignorant too, while they carry out their plan to advance their cause at our expense, at the expense of our life and the life of even their own people. We can now do for self, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. We can now do for self and harvest our labor. See, in the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we could do for self, but there was no guarantee that we would be able to harvest our labor. Because what we would, our position justified the government to come in at any time they wanted to and break down or tear down everything we had built up. And take whatever we had achieved. Take it as a due to the government, as something that was due to the government, the taxes or something, or in some other name, they take everything, or set us against each other and make sure that we would have nothing left, you see? So they knew that their society, their leaders and their public wouldn't support a people condemning the government and condemning the white race as being a race of devils and planning their future inside that government. They wouldn't support that. They just let you do it as long as it's some benefit to them. And they needed something to counter the civil rights movement. They needed something to counter even Dubois long before the civil rights movement. They needed to something to counter W.E.B. Du Bois movement, NAACP that came after Du Bois. That movement, protest, the movement of protest. They needed something to counter it. So I'm sure they saw that, no, don't kill, don't destroy this foreign life or this foreign thing in our society. Let it live. Down the road, we may need it to counter the movement of the people who, black people, who want to rush things and want us to accept them in our society as they are equals. So the Nation of Islam saying, Don't have faith in that. Don't trust the white world that they will ever give you that. Don't trust W.E.B. Du Bois' hope that this will happen. But separate yourself from these wicked or evil doers and oppressors of your life. Separate yourself from them and establish your own nation. So I'm sure that the intelligence department of our country, back there in the 30s when it first started, they looked at it and they said, yes, it's a threat. But we better leave it alone. We might need it down the road. Yes, and that's why they let us live, you see. But when the civil rights movement advanced our cause and the government had to make concessions and the thing was opening up to be right, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was also of old age, was becoming to be old and frail and in poor health. And they were fearing that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if he would die, a young man, like Malcolm, a young man like someone else, not me. They knew me. They studied me, too. They knew I was a warrior for peace. They knew that. So they weren't afraid of me, what I would do. They just didn't want me to get the freedom to do too much. So that's why they made sure that I didn't have much money to around to help the cause once my father was gone. So they made sure that I was poor. They said, well, he won't have much money to use. That's one thing. They saw that I didn't have much money. I had to struggle with poor people and no money. But I'm sure they wanted to leave me around. They didn't want to get rid of me. And they didn't want anybody to come up that couldn't manage that leadership like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad managed it. He was a wise man. He didn't do foolish things. Very wise man. He was like Elijah of the Bible. He used water and fire, but he used it very skillfully. Yes, he wouldn't burn himself up, that's for sure. And he helped keep us out of danger too. But the next leader, who knows, the intelligence department say, if they get a young, hot-headed leader, he won't be like Elijah, a shrewd strategist. He may make the wrong decisions and may bring people out here to attack the government. He may start a violent revolution or something. So they were very careful, you know, to see that such man didn't succeed him. And if he did, he wouldn't have nothing to work with. So before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, they had already started working to destroy the businesses and the economic future of the Nation of Islam. Before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed. In fact, the greater part of the damage to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's business accomplishments was already done before he passed. But when he passed, then they took us into the probate court, manipulated us into the probate court and took the rest. And gave us a little, was nothing. Says, well, we have to leave them something so that they can reorganize. This is a lawyer, and got the judge approval. The judge said, yes, well, they should have something to reorganize. So we'll let them have, I forget how much it was, about $30,000 or something. Yeah, no kidding. Really, seriously. And that'll help them get the schools, keep their schools in Chicago. But what about all the schools in other places? So actually, when they told me, they said, well, we have to take you down and you come down to court for a deputation? I said, yes, I accept. And I said, they don't know I know what deputation means. They're taking me to court to crucify me. That's exactly what it means, literally. Crucifixion. Yeah. So it may mean one thing for one person in the procedure, but it can mean also crucifixion. Anytime they want to mean that, it can mean that, because literally that's what it means. Crucifixion. Come from the word means to crucify. So they kept taking my deputation. I said, well, this is it. Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had told us, he said, we're going to lose all of this. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in the last several years of his life, last two or three years of his life. He said, we're going to lose all of this. He said, but we'll get it back. He didn't mean in his lifetime. I don't think he was speaking. I think it was the angel speaking. God was having his angel speak. With the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's voice, to say to us, all of this is going to be lost, but you'll get it back. Now is the time to get it back. And lastly, I want to say to you, and mind you, I'm not speaking to only Muslims. I'm speaking to the soul of the African-American people, because that's the great hero. Great hero for our life and the great helper in the cause of God. That hero in the soul of the African-American people. We can now be our own man. M-A-N. Thank you.
Thank you. for more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.